In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about stories of Jesus from the book of Mark. I'm so glad to be focusing this week on Jesus. Jesus Himself, not on problems. I really am convinced that if we would turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, that the things of earth would grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So I hope you'll stick with me. I know that some of you would think, oh, well, she's just reading the Bible this week. We don't need to listen to that. I hope you won't turn me off, because we all need to be reminded of these stories over and over again. And sometimes, for some reason, it just helps to hear the story through another voice, maybe a different version of the Bible, stories which may be very familiar to many of you or perhaps new to some of you. Today, we're going to be talking about another kind of rescue. We've talked about Jesus rescuing the disciples in a storm when they thought that the boat was going to sink. And today, when they arrived on the other side of the lake, what do they encounter but a wild man? A desperate, crazy, frightening Gerasene. This was in the country of the Gerasenes. This man was in the grip of an evil spirit, and he rushed out to meet him from among the tombs where he was living. Great place to live, wasn't it? It was no longer possible for any human being to restrain him, even with a chain. Indeed, he had frequently been secured with fetters and lengths of chain, but he had simply snapped the chains and broken the fetters in pieces. No one could do a thing with him. All through the night, as well as in the daytime, he screamed among the tombs and on the hillside and cut himself with stones. Self-destruction there. Now, as soon as he saw Jesus in the distance, he ran and knelt before him, yelling at the top of his voice, "What have you got to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? For God's sake, don't torture me." Does it seem strange to you that this desperate man would run and kneel before Jesus, a man possessed by an evil spirit? Now remember that Jesus had just been through a storm in which he had brought his peace and power not only to the waves and the wind, but to the terrified disciples. Authority, he had shown his authority over the elements. Now here's this man. No human being had been able to tame him. He was rejected. You can imagine how much he must have been feared. None of us would want to get near a man like that. Undoubtedly, he was despised, wild, and self-destructive. Sort of person that people would want to avoid at all costs. Nobody can do anything with him. You're likely to get hurt yourself. Keep away from him. And he sees in Jesus both a threat and the hope of rescue. A threat when he says, "What have you got to do with me, Jesus? For God's sake, don't torture me." He has some recognition of Jesus' power, and he knows who he is, Son of the Most High God. But at the same time, he's scared that Jesus might torture him. And I think I can identify with that feeling in a certain measure. I want to come to Jesus, and yet knowing my own helplessness and sinfulness, I'm afraid of what he might do. As C.S. Lewis tells us in the Narnia books, Aslan, the lion, is not a tame lion. And when one of the children says, "Is he safe?" the answer is no. He's not a tame lion. But here this strange creature, this wild man, sees in Jesus at the same time both a threat and perhaps a hope of rescue. Otherwise, why would he have knelt? What will he do to me? Will he torture me? And then Jesus had already said, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." And then he asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for there are many of us." Then he begged and prayed him not to send them out of the country. Here's the man, I presume, begging and praying Jesus not to send them out of the country, as though he is actually praying that Jesus will not do anything real bad to these evil spirits that had been torturing him. But we really don't know whether it was the man himself speaking or one of these demons speaking through him. But what did Jesus do? A large herd of pigs was grazing there on the hillside, and the evil spirits implored him, "Send us over to the pigs, and we'll get into them." Now think about this one. The evil spirits are praying. The evil spirits are begging Jesus to send them into the pigs and get into them. So we can't escape the fact that here we have a strange combination of things going on where a request that is made to Jesus is actually granted to these evil spirits. It says Jesus allowed them to do this, and they came out of the man and made off and went into the pigs. And you remember what happened. The whole herd of pigs, about 2,000 of them, stampeded down the cliff into the lake and were drowned. And of course, the swineherds, the people that owned the pigs, took to their heels and spread the story in the city and all over the countryside. And the people came to see the man who had done this, and they saw the man who had been devil-possessed, this wild man that nobody could tame, sitting properly clothed and perfectly sane. The same man who had been possessed by Legion. And they were really frightened. It was awesome. It was terrifying to recognize the power that Jesus had. Those who had seen the incident told them what had happened to the devil-possessed man and about the disaster to the pigs. And then they began to implore Jesus to leave their district. We can't cope with somebody that has this kind of power. What might happen to our entire business here? So they asked Jesus to leave. And as he was embarking on a small boat, the man who had been possessed begged that he could go with him. But Jesus would not allow this. "Go home to your own people," he said, "and tell them what the Lord has done for you." Here lies the crux of the matter. Jesus has power over the devil. If he had power over the devil back then, he has power over the devil today. Do we accept him once and for all as the ultimate authority in everything? Or do we rely on our own judgment? Do you know that great hymn? "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal." Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled would threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word, above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gift are ours, through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill. His truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Satan is a personal power who wills evil. He is our ancient foe. He does, indeed, daily seek to work us woe. But Jesus has the power to drive Satan away from us. And Satan is powerless against the heart that surrenders and lives in humility and truth. Whose kingdom are we here to promote? Who is king of my life? Satan would like to bind us, keep us in torment and darkness, as he had that pitiful man in the tombs. But we read in the scriptures, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan, now get this straight, he is not a principle or an elementary power. He is a rebellious, fallen creature, frantically opposing God. Speak the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amazingly, it brings calm, sanity, order, and peace. Sitting at his feet, clothed, full of love, this wild man who's now tamed actually wants to go with him, obeys him. That's my Jesus. He can tame me too.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.